This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And I am coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network's glorious studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, because it is a beautiful day here. And I'm glad that we got over those dull days that we had last week, and everything is all sunshiny and bright. And it is a very special day in so many ways. First of all, I just heard that Sarah Paretsky is going to be on the program in April, and that is a big deal. I so enjoy Sarah Paretsky's book, and I just spoke to her publicist a few minutes ago, and it was so funny. A while back, he had called me and asked me to book Sarah, and I was fully booked. I couldn't get her in. So I'm so happy that now I have a spot for her, and it's going to be just a wonderful time to be able to talk to her. Now, I also, well, so many exciting things today. I'm waiting for Forbes Riley. Yes, again, I know we waited last time, and I'm waiting again, and I hope that she makes it in today because she is just so inspirational, and I really want her to talk to you and to share with all of us her story of her absolutely marvelous success and the inspiration that she puts into just living and working and succeeding. So I'm hopeful that she's going to make it in here soon. But meanwhile, I want to tell everyone that I have a new national sponsor, and I am so very, very happy, MyPillow. Wow, they just sent me the commercials last night, and it's so exciting. I'm going to be running them, and I'm going to be taping one. But I just want to tell you that MyPillow people are absolutely the most delightful people to deal with. I contacted them, and my husband helped me also contact them, and they came back to us, and they are so sweet. The assistant, her name is Dawn, to, of course, everyone knows Mike Lindell, is just a wonderful person, and she set this all up for me so that I have my own 800 number and promo code. Whoa, this is the first time that I have a promo code. Now, as many of you know, this is the month I'm celebrating my second anniversary. My second anniversary program will be on March 21st, and I have some really wonderful guests. I'm going to have David Baldacci and Doug Brunt and quite a few other really important people on, and I'm so grateful that they have agreed to join me on that day. And really all month I've been bringing people back and talking to people who have been on the program before, like Lawrence Block, the fantastic Mystery Writer of America Grandmaster. And I want to thank all of them, and I want to thank all of the authors who have sent me in congratulations, and all of the publicists who have helped me so much over this 2 years. They've just been amazing. They send me books. I get books, and I get books, and they let me select the authors I want to interview, which is funny because several times I've gotten emails from people, and they say, well, why do you always say nice things about the book? Don't you have anything bad to say? I mean, can't you be critical? And I explain to them that I can take any author I want. So I do get books sometimes. As a matter of fact, as I get from the publicists in New York, they send me maybe 5 to 6 books a week. And I certainly don't take them all. I mean, I don't have time anyway, but I if I don't like a book, I read, you know, I try to read all the books I receive. Well, as you all know, that I've read 10,000 books, so what's another 1,000 or so to me? Doesn't make any difference, except that it is loading up the house, and my husband keeps saying, I thought we were going to have fewer books, but it doesn't look like it. And so now we're contemplating where we're going to build new bookcases. But it's fun. I select the writers that I want to talk to, both from New York, the ones that they send me from New York, and now even London. I've been getting quite a few from London, and of course the local authors. And if I like their books, they can come on the program. And if I don't like their books, and I've had a few really very best-selling authors, famous people, and I'm just, I don't know, either they might have written a book that I liked before, but the current book either was depressing or slow or whatever. It just didn't appeal to me. So I'm not just not going to, you know, cover it. I don't say anything bad about them. But if I don't like it, then I just don't bother to have them on. So that's why it's wonderful that I have this support from all of these wonderful people. And now to have Mike Lindell of MyPillow supporting Joy on Paper in a big way, because now I can give out, you'll be hearing the commercials, the prepared commercials often. We'll run them here on Tantalk Radio Network. But meanwhile, I can tell you the 800 number, so you can go ahead. You don't have to wait until the official commercial is out. The 800 number is 871-1543. That's 800-871-1543. And the promo code is Patsy, P-A-T-Z-I. That's Patsy with a Z. And I thought that was so sweet of them to give me my own, well, you know, it's sort of like, who has these promo codes? Rush has his promo code, I think, is Rush. And Hannity and all of these other people have their own promo code. So, you know, in 2 years, I think it's been a really wonderful experience. And I want to thank all of you who have sent me emails over the time asking me questions and suggesting authors, because I love when you suggest authors. And I've had quite a few lately authors that you've suggested, authors that either have made a difference in your life, authors that have really touched something in you, and you wanted to hear from them. So I'm just thrilled when I get those kind of emails. And just recently, for example, my sister often finds an author, probably a cozy mystery, since she's a cozy mystery connoisseur, and she'll say, you have to get this lady on, or you have to get this guy on to talk about their books. And that's what I love. I love suggestions. And so many of the authors who come on the program are because of your suggestions. And that's why it's important that I keep, trying to reach out to more and more authors. I would actually love to add another hour to the program, and we'll see if MyPillow can generate enough funds for me to do that. So MyPillow, the 800 number, 871-1543, and the promo code Patsy, and just go ahead and order them. They are fantastic. It was cute. Dawn sent me two pillows. She said, well, you have to have the pillows. I want to make sure that you really like these pillows before we let you endorse them. And, of course, I had already slept on my pillow before, but when we got these two king-size pillows, unbelievable. They are just so amazing. My husband has completely stopped wiggling around in bed, and I was talking to my brother in northern Michigan, Upper Peninsula, and he was saying that once he discovered my pillows, his whole sleep pattern changed. So we're a family now that can highly recommend MyPillow, and I hope that you'll support not just MyPillow, but support me and support Joy on Paper and all of the writers that I try to help, both on the big circuit, the ones that come down from New York, but also all of the local authors who I love, and we have so many talented people. And so to keep my program going and growing, it's important that I have some of these wonderful national sponsors. And I have a few others that I'm talking to, and I hope that they'll join in to support Joy on Paper. And as a matter of fact, it was cute. Mike Lindell, if you don't know his story, it is quite an amazing story. What he has made of himself. He had so many problems. And for those of you who don't know, he was an addict. He had all sorts of problems. And then one day he just changed. And so you can't say that people don't change. People do change. And he came out with this idea for the pillow. He started working on it, and he's built an amazing company. And, of course, coming from up north and having been to Minnesota many times, I know how very important his company now is to the entire state. And it's just wonderful. And I was so happy when Don told me that Mike is writing a book. And so again, an inspirational book to talk to people about what they can do with their lives if they have the determination to do it. So I hope in about 6 months that he should be having his book coming out, and I will have him on the program. But meanwhile, think about ordering a MyPillow. And I will have this also information on my webpage so you can go to it. But remember, you're not just supporting your head in a beautiful way. You're supporting a lot of writers who really need a platform for them to promote their books. And also, it's a great pillow just to scrunch up in bed and sit there and read a good book. So I hope that you will all consider buying a MyPillow from me, Patsy, with a Z. And meanwhile, I'm still waiting for Forbes, because I will wait forever for Forbes. If anybody has ever seen her talk or anybody has ever met her, she is quite an amazing person and inspirational. And so I'm really eager to have her here. Meanwhile, I also want to remind everybody that the Indie Writers Contest at Writer's Digest is coming up. It is very important for you to think about entering your book as an indie writer. It's an opportunity to get known. And that is available. The information is available at writersdigest.com. And you can go there and check out the information how you can submit your book. The deadline is April 3rd. So it's coming up quickly, and it's a time for you to really get in there and, try. You might win. You never know. There are readers. Someone said to me, well, I tried once before. You have to remember, there are many, thousands of submissions, thousands. And, of course, in everything to do with books, there people like some things and don't like some things. You never know if you hit the right reader. It's not if your book didn't win 1 year, it might just be that reader who got your book just wasn't into you. You know, didn't hit him at the right time. On the other hand, you might be lucky and you might be blessed that a reader, because they're all the readers are professional people who have been in the book world for a long time, and they just might recognize that special talent that you have. So it's worth the $25 entry fee just to try it, and it also focuses your mind on your work. And, you know, there's rejection and there's rejection. The big rejection is if you don't even try, because you've rejected yourself. And again, just why not give it a try? And I hope at least one of you win something, and you'll come here on the program and tell us all about it, because it is exciting. And I was thinking of Writer's Digest, I wanted also to talk about Publisher's Digest. And I hope that many of you will take a look at Publisher's Digest online. I wouldn't get the subscription. You don't have to. I get it, so I can tell you about it. But if you get in the habit of looking at Publisher's Digest once a week, you will see there what agents have signed deals. And that's a way for you to start just familiarizing yourself with the names. If you see week after week or every, like once a month, the same agent coming out with another deal and another deal, well, then you know that that agent is really very active. You know, there are thousands of agents. Some of them are active, very active. Some of them, you know, agent a little bit on the side. They all are trying. If they're agents, they want to make money. So remember that they are looking for something good to sell, because if they don't find something good to sell, they don't make any money. But it is important that you find an active agent, one that's really on sort of on the way up, and really percolating out there and working with the publishers. Because an agent, a good agent, is an agent who can pick up the phone and get through to a publisher and has the trust of a publisher, so that if they say, okay, if an agent calls a publisher and says, this book is ready, the publisher trusts them and knows that the book is in good shape, it's been edited, it's almost ready to be printed, and all they have to do is now run it through their own internal editing processes. But it is a book that is worthy of money. And that's the name of the game, because you want to get that advance. And the agent wants to get that advance. Remember, they get 15%. So it is something that you have to think about. And I really think you will enjoy reading just the front two pages of Publisher's Digest at least once, twice a month. Have a look at it. And also, it familiarizes yourself with what's popular. You know, we go through stages. It was funny. Dave Chesson from Kindlepreneur was on a month ago, and he's going to be coming back on in April. And he was saying that he helps authors in many ways, but one of the ways is finding the words that are searched and the words that in a title that might help you to get found when people are searching for a book. And one of the words I know that has been very popular the past few years is girl. There have been so many books with the name girl in it. Girl gone, girl this, girl that, girl on a train, girl running around, whatever. But obviously they found out from their algorithm that by typing in the word girl, it got somewhere. So all of these little things that you have to learn as a writer, it's not easy, but it's fun, and it is a process. So I hope that you'll listen to Joy on Paper often. And if you miss a program, go to my archive page. I am really fine-tuning it a little so that you'll be able to find the agent interviews more easily and suggested agents. I'm going to have now in the next week or so, I will have a list of agents selected because of the type of book they really are working on. Do not do that ABC alphabet book that they have out of agents. It's very expensive. And by the time a book listing agents in alphabetical order is published, half of them are probably moving on to something else. If agents don't sell books, they then go on to academia and become teachers or something. Or they move on to publishing houses and become editors. So the ones listed in an ABC kind of alphabetical list, and writers will tell me they start at the A, and I don't know. I don't know any of them who have ever gotten to Z because they've give up. But you have to still try, and it's one of the joys of writing. Meanwhile, I'm going to take a break, not a MyPillow break because I don't have that commercial ready, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. I'm going to tell you again, the 800 number for MyPillow is 871-1543, and the promo code is Patsy. And get a pillow. That would be so nice. Okay, and I'm going to start crying. I'm so happy. Oh my goodness. Look who's just walking in. Oh, wow. Okay, forget the commercial. Hey, forget it.
Damn it, no commercials.
Forget that commercial. I don't care. She's here. What do I care about commercials? I have. It is so. Oh, it's so great. Is he on? Are you on? Check it out. Put your earphone. I hope so. Yeah, that's a good idea.
You say hi to your audience. Forbes Riley is in the house.
That's right. Forbes Riley's in the house.
We were starting to think that you were a figment of her imagination.
I am a figment. I'm that fantasy late night when you want to. You know, actually, you know what? It's very funny I say that because having made a career in infomercials, people stop me going, I know your voice. Because in the middle of the night, if you've got insomnia, I'm your best friend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for 2 decades or 3 decades, how old am I?
25. My son said you look 25. I put you on my Facebook.
Is your son dateable? Because I'm actually turning 57.
As a matter of fact, we'll wave to him. Hi, baby.
Oh, is that your son?
No, he's up there. We're on podcast too.
You're so very cute. All right, so let's get to business because we only have a half hour.
That's it.
All right, so here's
the deal. And you're here to inspire. And I was just telling everybody that today is such an exciting day because I just got my pillow as my first national advertiser, which
Very cool.
I mean,
Well, now you haven't spin gymmed, have you?
Huh? Well, spin gym this.
Yeah, give me your thumbs.
Oh, look at this.
So talk to your audience.
I'm having a fantastic thing.
You are. So does everybody know who I am?
Everybody should know. I've only been talking.
So what you've got here is a spin gym. So you're going in and out of this beautiful blue spin gym. And if you don't know what this is, just go to spingym.com so you can see. Now, you might think it looks like a toy, right?
Yeah.
How you feeling, Barrow?
Oh, good.
Come on, tell them where are you feeling this?
In the arms, boy.
Straighten your arms to be like Superwoman and go 10. 9. And the truth is, wherever you are, you know, if you're in a car, you should stop.
Yeah.
But if you're in a desk and you're anywhere that you want to get fit anytime on vacation, I will tell you what. I have sold 2 million of these. And the thing that most important to me, my punch, like a woman, punch.
Whoa. Punch. Well, I'm a kickboxer, so that's all right.
So what happened for me is that I've been in exercise and fitness, you know, pretty much not, you know, it's funny, my whole life, but kind of by accident. Because I don't know if you know this, but I was overweight my whole life.
Yeah, I heard that and I thought, oh, I can't believe it. She's so gorgeous.
You can't say that enough. But the truth is my mom was 260 pounds my whole life. I grew up in a time when fast food had come to town. Some companies whose name I'm no longer going to publicly say, but you know them all, are on every single corner. And they were full of processed food and sodium and sugar. And man, we didn't have a whole lot of money. So every Friday and Saturday night, we would go out and grab that burger and extra shake and fries. And then it was fried chicken. And Monday through Friday was TV dinners. Not that my mother didn't love us. She didn't know any better. We had bologna sandwiches with white bread. In fact, Wonder Bread's even out of business as a company. So I grew up in a time when it was rather unfortunate when it came to food. And I wanted to be a dancer, and I was overweight, and the more I worked out, the fatter I got. And it killed my mom and my dad. They both smoked. It was a tough time. My dad put his hand in a printing press when I was a young girl, and he spent my entire high school in the hospital, 15 operations.
Oh, my gosh.
And when somebody looks at me like you did and say you're beautiful, in the inside, I know I always have been, but on the outside, I got hit in the face with a baseball bat when I was a little girl, like 8 years old, and I had a very odd, crooked nose. I had braces for 8 years, making her cry. And it was very frustrating. It was very hard. And I was kind of a loner. I was a smart kid. But I spent most of my time alone. I watched a lot of television and a lot of movies, and I had no friends. It's not even like I didn't have any friends. People were either jealous of me because I was smart, but I was not pretty. I was kind of a geek. My dad was my best friend. We would, we'd fly airplanes. We'd build computers. He was an inventor. I'm a magician because of him. And it was a very odd childhood. Now, not odd by my standards, the only one I knew, but I did know that I was lonely. It's not even really fair to say that because I had the movies and I had friends and I had David Cassidy and I had the Brady Bunch and I had the F Troop and I Dream of Jeannie. I had people that didn't exist. I had quite an imagination in my head. And when my mom turned to me and she said, hey, you know what? We have no money for you to go to school. It was quite a blow. And actually, shortly after that, she got held up in my house at gunpoint. For 2 hours, they ransacked my entire house, took all of our jewelry, took everything we had, and destroyed my mom. So as I've been telling my story, I didn't understand all that I had been through as a little girl, but it's pretty traumatic when you look at it. And my dad's doctor offered to fix my nose. And something magical happened to me. The universe, I think, said, you know what? We've got a bigger plan for you, little girl. So they fixed my nose. My braces came off. I had a beautiful smile. I lost some weight. And I entered a pageant. And my mom said, no, don't worry. It's not a beauty pageant. It's a written test of talent, of personality. It's called the Miss Teenage America pageant. And the winner is on TV with Bob Hope on NBC. And I looked at my parents and I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to matter for my family. And it was a lot of girls there. And I don't know why I said that, but I won. I won Miss Teenage New York. And I won because I had to. My why was bigger. And this is what I take to people in business. I don't care that you want to make money. Making money is irrelevant. What do you want to do with it? Do you want to take a vacation to enjoy your family? Do you want to give it away to feed a family because they can't afford Thanksgiving dinner? Get kids presents on Thanksgiving, on Christmas. Do things other than yourself. When your why is so big, you become unstoppable. And my why was I wanted my dad to be proud of me. I wanted him to matter. And that took me all through college. It took me all through afterwards, being an actress. I did a lot of this, whether you were to get his approval, but just to make sure that these two people who loved me more than anything, when they didn't have anything, made sure I had a great life. And so I've been moving that forward. And the more I speak about it, the more I've come to understand that you really are the sum of the obstacles you overcome. When you think it's really bad and you're at your worst, just know that there's a bigger plan. And the plan is, not that something magical is around the corner, that's the icing on the cake. The plan is, if you hurt that much, then it's your job to give it back. Don't let your pain go wasted. Don't let your loneliness, don't commit suicide. What a waste. You know, you want to go out and you want to find somebody who can't do what you do. And maybe you can tutor a kid. I mean, there's so many things that your life could make sense of. And so mine right now is to speak. It used to be doing products on television. I have created some great fitness products because I'll tell you what, nobody deserves to carry around extra fat. Nobody deserves to look at their body and go, man, I hate my thighs. I hate my belly. I have a solution for you. I have a solution. I don't have a diet. In fact, I just trademarked the word diet. You know what diet means besides deprivation, starvation, and frustration?
No.
Here's what it means, guys. And if you're listening within the sound of my voice, I'm going to ask you to go get a pen. And you're going to write this down, D-I-E-T. Joy, write this down, literally, D-I-E-T. Okay. It simply means decisions I eat today. Stop worrying about what you're going to do tomorrow. But right now, today, if you tell me that you want to be fit, then put the donut down. Put the cake down. I know it tastes good. I know it's satisfying. But I have here a journal. I wrote a book called A Journal for What You Eat and for What's Eating You. And I know firsthand that we all know that salad is good without the dressing and brownies are fattening. But we would choose the brownie because we want to stuff down some emotion. We're lonely. We're hurting. But food is not the answer to that. So one of the things that I've done, and enjoy this. This is a journal.
I'm holding it up. It's a lovely cover.
Oh, are you filming this somewhere?
It's on podcast.
Oh, yeah, I did not. Oh, look at this. I had no idea.
It's a webcam.
Webcam.
Well, so here's the thing. Here's the thing about this. Diets never worked for me. They made me feel like a loser. They made me feel like a cheater. I'm not either one of those things, but they sure did. Every time I wanted to lose weight, I would feel more miserable. And all this particular journey asks you to do is if you bite it, write it. For 6 weeks, get honest with yourself and do one happiness exercise a day. You know what? When you're happy, you eat less food. You just do. If you ever get married at a wedding, you hardly eat anything that day, right? You're so busy being around your friends and family. Food, if you're like me and you're addicted to it, it took the place of friends. It took the place of a lot of things. And I feel bad because then when you look at your body and you stand in front of the mirror naked and you go, man, by the way, if you've ever said this, I want you to take it back. If you've ever said, I hate my body, God is very willing to take it away from you. I had a woman in one of my weight loss journeys, she said, oh, I just hate my thighs. I said, really? Because the chick in the wheelchair over that who has got cerebral palsy and can't walk, she would take your wiggly jiggly cottage cheese thighs any day of the week. Don't ever say you hate your body. You get one of them. You can replace your car, your house, but you get one of these. And I've got a dear friend, Mac Gray, who spin gyms. He's hit by a drunk driver. He's a quadriplegic. You know what? He'd take your body any day because yours works. And he still doesn't hate his body because without your body, you're just not here. So I am tired of all of the complaining and all of the whining. We don't take enough action. We're not supportive enough of each other. We don't love each other enough. We all talk about it like it's something else out there. We're so busy. I can't look at the news anymore. I can't look at my Facebook. I don't want to indulge in pettiness. It's not worth it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, one of the reasons I wanted, well, why I was inspired to have you on is because several writers, you know, this program is for writers and those who dream of writing, and I interview, you know, so many famous people, and I also work with so many local authors. And an author came to me, a young girl, she's absolutely delightful. She's written a really fantastic fantasy fiction, but she's done it, she's been isolated. In many ways, like you, she has a family there, you know, they love each other, but she's just been overfed and overfed to a really massive amount. And so she said, I could never go out there and do a book tour. I could never go out and talk about the book. Because one of the things I tell authors, you have to, you can't just write the book. You have to get out there and, you know, promote the book. And so she was giving up. And I said, no, there has to be a solution. There has to be a way to inspire you. And of course, I've heard about you for years, and you are so inspirational. I think you are just something that writers can say, okay, wow, take this course of action. You have a wonderful webpage. I know you give 10% discount, I think, if people go through your webpage, and just start. And what I love about you, I know that I've heard the story about how you think big, like you had where you were asked to write, how, you know, like a goal, like $30,000, and then then go on from there, right? You did something like that.
Well, I have a philosophy. It's all over my television studio. I own a TV studio here, and it's about dream it, believe it, and achieve it. And dreams are not forged in reality. Dreams are dreams. And one of the things I do, I now teach courses here. So is your program local or is it all over the world?
Well, it's local, but it's also all over the world. I have because it's for writers.
Well, let me tell you something. I don't know if you know this.
In Ukraine. I have people from the Ukraine.
You should.
Who knew?
I love that. So one, I've written a bunch of books and I'm in the process of writing books. And my daughter, 14 years old, is coming out with her first book called Every Company Needs a Kid.
And what a title.
It's a great title. She's an amazing speaker. She does internet marketing. If you go on, by the way, right now, are you online right now?
I'm online, yeah.
Go on something. Go to www.mckennarileysboat.com. M-A-K-E-N-N-A, Rileys with an S, boat.com. In the last 20 days.
Oh, okay, spell it again.
M-A-K-E-N-N-A.
M-A-K-E-N-N-A.
McKenna. McKenna, like the beautiful volcano in Hawaii, she is erupting everywhere. So McKenna Rileys, R-I-L-E-Y-S-B-O-A-T.com. And what you're going to see is the dream of a little 14-year-old who is raising money to get a boat to take people who are less advantaged, who don't have the money, who are older, who are disabled. And I think you might want to see that in the last 20 days, how much money has she raised, Miss Joy?
Whoa. Miss Patsy. My name is Patsy with a Z.
She has raised almost $7,000. She's 14 years old. Now, how does a 14-year-old do that? They think bigger. They don't have the same limitations that we as adults do. When you watch her video, and by the way, if you took the time to write that down, I'm going to ask that you donate. I don't care if you just donate $5. One of the things that we've discovered is that the more people, how many people does it say have donated so far? It's up at the very top.
Yeah, right there.
So far, it's close to 70 people.
68 people.
68 people. We're looking
21 days.
Right. We're looking to get to 100 people. So even if you think to just give $5, although we've had people give as much as 1,000, I encourage you to do this because when we get to 100, we can really kind of look for sponsorship. And all she wants to do is have the freedom that she's enjoyed, share it with other people. So the book, Every Company Needs a Kid, it started out as a story that this little 8-year-old helped me figure out. At Spin Gym, I don't know if you guys know all about who I am, but if you go to spingym.com, you'll see a fitness product that I created that nobody wanted when we started. I was on a TV series called Pitchman on Discovery and got my head handed to me on public television. But I just don't give up. Maybe because I don't think that you should. I think that's the ultimate disaster, is just to give up. You had a dream, go for it. And so we did this and we had five components to the product. There's a physical Spin Gym, the bag that it comes in with a great little logo on it. This logo, it says Spin Gym on it, right? Neoprene bag, see that? A book, a DVD, and a string. And I sell it on Home Shopping. Actually, I sell it on Home Shopping Live around the world. And we were all trying to figure out how to make it a little less expensive as a product to kind of like do a Groupon-type sale. And nobody could figure it out. In fact, I just did a big business class, and nobody could figure it out because they all looked at the cost and the profit. This little 8-year-old looked at the product and said, Mom, why don't you just take out the bag? Well, the bag's got my name on it, it's branded, and I thought, but it's also like 55 cents, and if you take that out, at least you could make money when you sold 75,000 of them. My daughter at 8 years old made my company $40,000. Nobody else figured that out. And so what kids do is they come to this with this wild sense of imagination, no limits, endless energy. You know what a kid's job is to do? It's kind of sad that we grow out of this, but they have three jobs. One is to learn, one is to grow, and three is to play. And I'm not joking about the play thing. You ever, like if you're making dinner and you've had kids, you're like, all right, look, just go outside and play. Well, yeah, just go play. Like play is about, like go play. They don't say go wash my car, do my laundry, go play. Well, we don't say that to it as adults. We just say, you know, you got more work to do. No, go play. Go take the time and go play tennis, play around, kick a ball, walk on the beach. And a vacation isn't something that you just get once a week out of the entire year because you're so stressed out that by the time you get there, you're too frazzled, takes you 4 days just to unwind. What if we just shifted how we live? Kids seem to do okay that way. But all of a sudden these hormones kick in and we get adults and we put on suits and ties and we're very serious. We have to pay taxes. I have people all the time in my seminars. I teach a lot live. I teach two courses right now. One's called the $100,000 Handshake, and I will give two free tickets away on your show if you would like.
Oh, wow.
It's $197 tickets each. I've got two for you. It's the most transformational thing you'll ever go through, and I guarantee that. So that is two free tickets for you to give to anyone you want. In fact, I'm going to gift another one because I'd like you to attend.
Oh, wow.
But
I'd
like you to give two away to somebody who's
here
in Tampa.
I will.
We do this every 2 or 3 months, and I will tell you, people have 10x'd their income, but they've also personally grown. And so if we can shift those kind of, we can just shift. And one of the things I ask people when I speak, and I speak all around the country, and if somebody's listening and says, hey, the sound of her voice is incredibly inspiring, will she come speak at my women's group or my corporation? I'm very available. You can find that out. You can call the show or look at my, go online. In fact, Facebook's the best way. But one of the things is I ask people what they want. So if I asked you, Ms. Patsy, what do you want? What would you say?
I want to sell 1 million books.
Okay, because why?
Because I have so many wonderful authors that I want to promote.
Okay, so what you want is you want to promote authors.
Yes.
So that's different than selling 1 million books.
Well, I want to sell 1 million of indie authors' books.
Because why? Because you want to what?
Well, because I want to both help them and to,
so you want to
open
be,
up the world to readers who have...
So you want to help people and you want to help educate people about reading. What else do you want?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see, that's the first thing that happens, my guys, is most people never get asked what they want because most people don't care about you. They don't really care what you want, just so you know. I have so many women, like, you just had that moment where you're like, wow, when's the last time anybody asked me what I wanted? And then I'll have somebody say, well, I want financial freedom. I said, you know what? Go live in a box. Literally, in a box under a bridge. That is financial freedom at its best. You have no bills. You have no phone. You don't have to worry about anything. Oh, no, 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 that's not what I meant. I want $1 million. Well, no, you don't either. Most lottery winners who get $1 million are not any happier than before they got the million, and that's been a proven statistic. So what is it that you do want? Do you know?
Well, again, it's hard to say, you know.
You want to be respected by people.
Oh, yes.
You want to that, but this is part of it. When you get down to it, your voice changes. You get out of your head and into your heart. One of the things that I discovered after doing this exercise many times, and I'm available for coaching as well, but I discovered that while all the money and the boats and the trips and all that is nice and I want my kids healthy, yeah. You know what I want? I want every day for someone to tell me that I inspired them. That means that I have to work really hard. And I got to tell you, does that translate into money? Sure. But that translate into happiness? Absolutely. Because every day on my Facebook, and I've got a couple of pages, people say, Forbes, you inspired me. You inspired me to live my dream. You inspired me to quit my job. You inspired me to lose weight. It doesn't matter what I inspire you to do. The second thing that I discovered, and this is really personal, and is it okay if I share it with you?
Yes.
Is that I wanted, see, I grew up as a magician, and people are like, wow, that's amazing. And when you spin gym with my fitness products and your arms feel amazing, wow, that feels amazing. So I wanted people to tell me that I was amazing. And here's a funny thing that started to happen. People introduced me and said, wow, Forbes, you're amazing. I had a shift being so self-centered and start giving more than I got for people to start calling me amazing. It didn't happen when I was alone in my room. Nobody called me anything. It didn't happen when I thought that I wasn't good enough or I was too heavy or I wasn't pretty enough. You know, I walked into a party in Los Angeles one day and the valet guy who parked my car, because it was a Toyota Corolla, kind of looked down his nose at me. This valet probably made no more money than I did, but he had just parked a Rolls and a Bentley and a Maserati and he looked at my little stick shift car like it was less than. And I walk into this event and everybody in the event was prettier, thinner, richer, and more famous than I was. Oh, and I know that because that's what I told myself. And I don't drink, so I couldn't mask that. And I stood in the corner. And when I looked around, all I saw were people who were prettier, richer, thinner, and more famous, all things I wanted to be, but I wasn't. And I left. I couldn't stay. I'm kind of an introvert. I was so uncomfortable that I got back in my car and I drove home. And then my self-fulfilling limiting belief was that I must have been right, that they were prettier. Anyway, the point of this is I went home and I ran to a girlfriend of mine, Christina. And Christina's got cerebral palsy. And Christina found herself saying, hey, you know what, Forbes? You're the most successful person I know. And I said, oh, is it because I'm on TV and I'm an actress and a TV host? She said, no. She said, you're the most successful person because you can walk across the floor in high heel shoes and a short skirt, and I never will. She can't get out of a wheelchair. And so to this day, I walk around and go, you know what? I don't care how much money you have or how beautiful you are. In fact, if you're a beautiful woman, I'm going to tell you, you've been screwed over, and I know that. Which is a sad fact. Most women, I don't care how beautiful you are, I wouldn't trade my life with you. And richer doesn't make you happier, and thinner doesn't make you. So you can't be more successful than I am because I'm breathing without a breathing tube. I've got two beautiful children. I inspire hundreds and hundreds of people on a daily basis. I've had a chance to, you invited me on a radio show. You got to have done something right to get this invitation. And I'm enjoying that part of my life now because I'm giving more than I get.
Well, that's exactly. You are inspirational. Just reading your story, knowing your story, knowing how you always reach higher. You don't limit yourself. And I had heard, I don't know if I read it or heard it, about the story about being told to write down an amount. And then you just added to the zeros.
Well, actually, I'm going to play that game with you.
What is that story?
So it's more of a game that I play. It's about you being able to understand your limiting beliefs. So if you're listening to this, here's another exercise. You already have a pen because you wrote down the word diet. You wrote down my website. You're going to come to my fan page on Facebook, right? And you wrote down, you know, Spin Gym or McKennaRileysBoat.com because we got to get her to $10,000. But Miss Patsy, I want you to do this too. And your engineer on the other side should do this and everyone listening. You earned a number last year. And that number was something you reported on your tax returns, right? And you pretty much know what that number is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we all kind of...
It's not a real big number, right? Hey, Ed.
Well, but the number... But see, now she just said a limiting belief.
Yeah.
Because to people in a third world country, it's a bigger number than most will ever make. So it's a relative number. It's also relative to what you want. You know, if I don't want to work that hard, I could live on less. But the point is, it's a number. Now add a zero to that number. Close your eyes for a second and look at that number with an added zero.
Wow.
That's kind of cool. How much more work would it take, or what would you have to do differently to add a zero to that number? Well, you have to show up more. You have to create more value, more product. That's cool. Probably doable if you really put your mind to it. So now while you're in that state of dreaming, add a second zero. Whoa. Yeah, everybody's face usually goes, oh. And all of a sudden, even though this is a dreaming, pretending exercise, I look out at my audiences and they all start to get squirmy. So what just changed? You can't dream that big, that you could be a millionaire, that you could be a billion. I mean, so if you earned, you know, $100,000, now we're talking, wow, I could earn $1 million. Yeah, you'd have to work 10 times harder or smarter. But now 10 million? How do you go from 100,000 to 10 million? Well, I'll tell you, people do it all the time. That's what my daughter and I teach, whether being online or automating. There's all kind of ways, all kind of things that you don't know. But if your first reaction was, oh, I can't do that. Well, then guess what? You just said it. You can't do that. And so I talk to people so many times who have these crazy limiting beliefs. If I sit here long enough with you or any one of your listeners, if they were to call in, they'll tell me within minutes everything that they can't do, why life isn't so good for them, how the economy is. It doesn't matter. But that's not how people become visionaries and dreamers and live fulfilled lives. You have to start by literally stop saying some of the beliefs that you believe because they're not true. In fact, you know what? If you write out the word belief, you know what's right in the middle of that? L-I-E. It's a lie. And you can change it.
Fantastic. This is why I wanted you on the program, because I think, you know, writers, they work so hard in their imaginary world, really working hard on their book. They fine-tune it to the best of their ability, and then they face these daunting tasks of having to do query letters and having to do, you know, find an agent and having to go out there and promote. And a lot of them, it's at that point that they lose, while they're writing, they're sure they're it's great.
Right.
And then it's afterwards that they start having these self-doubts about, is it really good? Will anybody like me? Will anybody, you know, ever read this?
And so what do you recommend?
And so, well, I recommend you. I mean, one of the things I did is I said that look for people who have this positive attitude, an attitude of do it.
So
get out there and do it.
So I've had an issue with writing as well. I've got about 3 books that have not seen the light of day yet. One is called Being Mom, and it's got Kris Jenner in it and Florence Henderson and a couple of my famous friends, how to be a mom of somebody who's famous, because I was going down that path right around the time that Anderson Cooper's brother jumped out of a window and committed suicide in front of his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt. I have a book that I'm working on as well called You Don't Know Jack, About Juicing for Your Health, My Life with Jack LaLanne. And I also have a little stigma about people believing my writing is good enough. And agents are crappy people. I'm sure there's some wonderful ones out there, but the idea of how to seduce an agent so that they'll want you, you know, is just, it's a daunting task.
It is.
So then my question is, because I hadn't really thought about this, is what do you do when you're a writer? How do you get it out there? One, I think you have to surround yourself with people who just let you understand that, one, your writing is good enough just because you put it down on paper. Uh-huh. You got to understand that. You don't have to get an A in English to be a writer. Look at E.E. Cummings. He didn't know what a capital letter was. I don't know what, you know, Hemingway thought that, you know, short sentences. So I don't necessarily know what makes good writing. And nowadays, if you went into it going, who cares? If maybe when you write, you spend a little more time thinking of who is it who needs to hear this message?
Well, this is a perfect, what you just said is perfect, because today happens to be the birthday of Mickey Spillane, who would be 99 years old.
Sure.
And do you know what he said about agents and about writers?
What?
He said, look, more people buy peanuts than caviar, and more people know a good book than agents.
Well, actually, I have my own quote, dear Mickey Spillane. My ugly book is better than your no book.
Exactly.
So I'll tell you what, just by the sheer fact that you wrote it down and took the time to do it, I'm going to applaud you. Let's make today Writer's Day.
Exactly.
And so let's do something crazy.
I was surprised when I went to Amazon and I was going to look up all your books, and I said, where's her bio? Where's her story? I mean, I know that she can write. I know that she's got many stories out there.
Okay, so here's what happened. Let's form a little group right now on Facebook called Writer Geek Club, because I'm part of the Geek Club, guys. I wrote my first book about being mom, and I did the interviews, and I was loving it. And my agent or manager at the time said, what are you doing that for? You're not a mom expert. He said, why don't you call your first book Been There, Sold That, The Secrets of the $2 Billion Host? So I put my first book in the drawer, and I said, okay, I'll work on the second book. I called that Been There, Sold That, and I found a great ghostwriter. And she, in fact, in me telling my story, she came back, and she was an overweight woman who looked up to me and kind of my age, and she was unbelievable. And she wrote these three chapters in this book proposal, and I loved it. In fact, want to hear the first chapter of a book that's not published? Get this. The first chapter is, what do Francine Forbes and Tom Mouthpother have in common? Well, both of them used to sit on the couch of their manager, Toby Gibson, in New York City, dreaming of being actors. They were both 16 years old. Both have become starred in projects that have grossed more than $350 million. One became Forbes Riley. The other became Tom Cruise. That's the first paragraph that she wrote for me.
Wow.
The book then goes on to talk about me being on Broadway with Christopher Reeve, dating Neil Simon, being an overweight girl who delivered singing and stripping telegrams. It's not about having a good story. We wrote this, gave it to her agent at the time, and you know, her agent came back and said, oh, I don't know, Forbes Riley's not famous enough. I just want a kitschy book about infomercials. And my ego is so fragile that I put it in the drawer. It hasn't been published to date. I can go down the list. I probably have 4 or 5 unpublished books. So today's show, my guys, is not about you. It's about me. So, doctor, what do I do?
Well, you're going to get these books out. I'm telling you. When I saw that she didn't have any books on Amazon, and somehow in the back of my mind, I said, there has to be. I mean, I can't imagine someone this talented, this brilliant, would not have written it down.
But now we're going to
have to work on this. And in 6 months from now, Forbes is going to come back here. I'm going to
wait 6 months.
We have to get it published and in print.
Let me tell you something, my darling. So here's what I've discovered: you can get a book published in a month.
Oh yeah.
You wanna, no, I'm not kidding.
I know.
I've had big agents and stuff, but I'll tell you what: you can make a whole lot more money actually self-publishing it. And I'm not talking about. I'm serious about the geek thing. So what was I afraid of? So I managed to put myself out there as an introvert, and I don't mind you judging my body and my face. Somehow judging my writing, I guess, was more important. But I actually now coach everybody in my class, and everybody I work with has a book. I usually come up with the titles like that. One of my girls in my class, she owns a sewing company not far from here, and her company is called, I said, you know what your book is called? SEW, So Right, So Wrong. Putting your life together, stitching your life together.
That's good.
I love doing this with people.
I love it.
So I'm going to say that I think it's about a support group, because I think I could use it as much as everybody else can, right?
Wow, absolutely.
So, and I think everybody needs a book. I'm doing another program where you can get toilet paper for free. I've got a company that I'm working with called Better Planet Paper. And if you buy toilet paper from them, they deliver it to your house. They plant a tree for you every time they do it. If you want more information, the company is just starting. This is an amazing company. And then you get 3 people to do it and yours is free. So you get free toilet paper. It's all about it's kind of a communal kind of concept. I've got great concepts. So I said to him, look, we need to write a book. Here's what our book is. It's easy being green. I want the 10 steps to how easy it can be. I don't want a hard recycling baloney stuff. Tell me as a mom that the 10 easiest things I can do to become green and help the planet. Boom, I get book titles all the time. I can write chapters and all this. So I've actually shifted. The books that I've talked to you about are all now getting finished. I think for me, it was the last straw of me hiding. And now that I coach so many other people. So my question to you is, if you wrote the book, and you are overweight and you don't want to face the world, my question is, well, that's unfortunate. Because the more vulnerable you are and you share your story, even if it's fiction, there's somebody out there who needs to hear your story. So you have the courage to write it down. Let's create a forum where it's comfortable enough for you to get out there. And I don't care if it bothers you at all. Do this for somebody else. There's too many people out there hurting. One of my other guys in my class, he's a war vet. His buddy and roommate was the first guy blown to smithereens in Somalia. He actually threw himself on a mine so that my friend, who also had his face reconstructed for 8 months, didn't die. And every day he's had a very hard time with this. So he wrote it all down. And in my training, by the way, you know, Serena Williams has a great coach who doesn't actually have to play tennis. As long as you're a great coach, I'm the best coach in the world. I said to him, have you told your kids this? He said, oh, no, I can't tell my kids. I said, well, I can't tell your kids that you're a hero? He's like, no, I'm not a hero. I'm like, but you can't tell your kids the story? And I was assuming his kids were young. They're in their 20s. And I said, look, I'm going to make my studio available so you can read your book. And I think you need to invite your kids. And so we're going to make that happen. And I'll give you some information about when he's going to do this because it's going to be very emotional.
Wow.
My other friend, Justin, put a gun to his head and tried to kill himself and the bullet misfired. He told his kids by having them read the first chapter of his book. So do me a favor. Please don't let your book go wasted. I'm going to make the same commitment that you need to make to me. And how about I come back in a month and we check in and see how we're doing?
Absolutely. Let's do that in a month. Wow. Ah, see? I told Ed she was going to show up. This is fantastic. It is so wonderful. I will send out a link for the GoFundMe and this wonderful project of McKenna's Free Ride Boat Project.
Well, actually, just simply call McKenna's Boat, McKenna Riley's Boat.com. And remember, her book is coming out too. Her book, Every Company Needs
a Kid.
And
she's going to be a guest on Joy on Paper.
And I also have some resources for you. I've got a woman who'll give us a program at a deep discount, who if you answer 58 questions, it will spit out a book for you. Remember, somebody's notebook is better than your book. You know, you got to get something out. Your book, whatever form it in, is better than somebody who's not done it at all.
Wow.
So your story can't go wasted. If you feel compelled to tell your story, let's do it. Let's create a forum so that you can get it out quickly because it is a healing process, not only for you, but for everyone who touches
the
book.
That's true. I've had quite a few vets on who, just by writing their story,
yes,
it has helped them so much, and I love to have them on.
What's your favorite book, by the way?
A Gentleman in Moscow.
Mm, okay, we'll have to talk about this,
yes.
About why.
Why? Oh, yeah.
And I'm a big Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino. just one of those things I read all the time, that and Think and Grow Rich.
Okay, well, we're going to have Forbes Riley back here in a month, and we're going to book it. And I just want to thank everyone for joining me today. I told you, listening to Forbes is an inspiration, and no, she can't leave yet.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm giving her a hug.
I have to. And I have to get a photo because this is quite amazing. And I just want to thank everyone.
Free.
Oh, yes, free. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And yes, send me an email, anybody. And as a matter of fact, I'll talk about our Book Nook group, all of our fantastic writers that are in the wonderful Miami Avenue Book Nook that I started. And I want to thank everyone for joining me today. Remember what I always tell you. Find the joy and share it and say something nice to somebody today. And I will say something nice to Big Ed. Thanks for everything.
Love you, Ed.
Okay, everybody have a great weekend and be back here on Tuesday because Margaret George is going to be my guest and she's going to be talking about her new book, Nero. Woo! Thanks. Bye.